Hi everyone, this is Steve. Welcome to Pacific Life Church Podcast. At the end of this episode, please take a moment to check out our website, pacificlifechurch.org, and subscribe to our email list. The email is actually the best way to keep up with everything going on around here at PLC. Most importantly, I hope the following presentation will inspire you to follow Jesus, love each other, and serve your neighbors. Good morning, everybody. Good to see all of you. And for those that are online, great to see you as well. Glad that you joined us this morning. Of course, we've been doing the series called Water is Life, and how appropriate to have a Hurricane Sunday. We talk about water is life. You know, for the last 3 weeks, we've been talking about that. And if you were here, we kicked it off with Daryl Larson at Give Clean Water. And that was super exciting. Daryl came up here and shared the great vision that he has and has had for years that we've been supporting as well, is bringing water filters all over the world. And so I want to give you a really, really amazing report, and that is that our goal was that we would get 100% participation. By the way, if you haven't been able to give anything at all to help support Give Clean Water, you know, please participate if you would. But we're over $11,000 right now, and isn't that awesome? Over $11,000. Last year we gave $12,000, and I think we're gonna do better than that. So that's really exciting. 2 weeks ago, we talked about how Jesus turned water into wine and saved a wedding. Last week, we actually talked about a storm. I had no idea this was going to happen this week. I was talking metaphorically about a storm, but there was a storm that happened, and Jesus walked on water, and Peter, and if you want to know more about that, go back and listen to that message. But today, we're going to continue the water theme, and it's going to be about baptism, and I'm just going to call this a surprising baptism, or sort of an unusual one. Which reminds me of the very first baptism that I ever did. So I was very young in ministry, and I remember this was a church in Lodi, California, in Northern California, and I was just brand new to all this church. It was about 1,200 people. I remember one day the pastor called me into his office, and he said, "I've got a very special assignment for you." And I said, "Okay." I was really like, "Okay, here we go. What's this going to be?" And he says, "Well, there's a woman that wants to be baptized on Easter Sunday morning." And so I'm thinking, I immediately visualized myself in front of the huge congregation that we had baptizing this person. And he said, "In the McCollumay River." And I said, oh, a river. And he said, yeah. And so you need to be there. I think it was like 7 o'clock in the morning, and you're going to baptize this person. So I'm like, okay. Well, this was like March in Northern California, and the McCollumay River was running probably about 47 degrees. And so I remember I got there, I had my swim trunks on, she had some kind of a bathing suit thing on, and I had a brief meeting with her. We talked about baptism, tried to get her prepared, and then we waded out into this water, and it was one of the coolest experiences of my life. And I still remember, you know, we were about waist high, and by this time we're pretty blue, and, you know, I said the words, and I dunked her down, and she came back up screaming. And I thought, was that the Holy Spirit? Or was she just freezing half to death like me? Anyway, that was my first experience with baptism. Well, today we're going to look at a guy who gets baptized, like I say, in kind of a surprising way. If you have your Bibles with you, if you want to look on the screen, you can see this. This is chapter 8 out of the book of Acts. And let's just jump right in. Beginning in verse 28, it says, "As for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, 'Go south, down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza.'" So let me give you kind of the backstory to what's going on here. So Philip is an evangelist. And for some of you that are new to the Bible and faith, you might say, well, what is an evangelist? An evangelist is a person, it's one of the gifts that God gives to us that's listed in Ephesians, evangelist, pastor, and some of the other gifts. And evangelists have this unique ability to preach and teach and a lot of times to really big crowds. I mean, a lot of you are familiar with Billy Graham. Billy Graham was an evangelist. And so this is a gift that he had. So the thing that was happening in Philip's life at this particular time is he had been in Samaria and things had opened really wide for Samaria. Now, this is not too long after the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the church is really beginning to take off. And when they get to Samaria, they find that people are responding to the gospel like hundreds of people. And so it's happening. In fact, it's gotten so big and it's so exciting that Peter and John, disciples of Jesus, they come and they join in the action. And right in the middle of all of this, he gets a call from really literally from an angel that says, I want you to go a different direction. So this had to be a huge surprise for him. I know probably anybody who was either a pastor or evangelist or something, and God said, I want you to leave what's going on here. We'd be like, what? But this is where the action is. Why would you want me to do this? But God has a very, very special assignment for Philip. So as we continue, it says, so he started out and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under the Kandake, the queen of Ethiopia. The Kandake was just a title for the queen. That wasn't actually her name. And the eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and he was now returning. So this guy came from Ethiopia to worship in Jerusalem. That's a 1,500-mile trip, and he's riding in a chariot. So it took him some time to get there. This guy is totally on a spiritual quest. I mean, he is hungry for God. Seated in his carriage, he was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah. And the Holy Spirit said to Philip, go over and walk beside along the carriage. Philip ran over and he heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. And Philip asked, do you understand what you're reading? Great question. The man replied, how can I unless someone instructs me? And he urged Philip to come up to the carriage and to sit with him. And the passage of scripture that he had been reading was this. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before the shears, he did not open his mouth. And he was humiliated and received no justice. And who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. So he's actually reading from Isaiah chapter 53. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, was the prophet talking about himself or someone else? And so beginning with the same scripture, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. And as they rode along, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized? And so he ordered the carriage to stop, and they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. And the eunuch never saw him again, but he went on his way rejoicing. God, what an amazing, exciting event and story. Well, there's a thought and a question that I want to circle around today, and that is this. How can I play a part in inspiring others on their spiritual journey? And when I say others on their spiritual journey, I'm not just talking about Christians or Christ followers. I'm talking about everybody because I believe that everybody is on a spiritual journey, and many of them just don't know it. And so we have the opportunity to speak into that. And so we'll talk a little bit more about that. So the first thing, if we're going to inspire people just to help them along their spiritual journey, the first thing is be open to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And that's really what we see happening right here. I mean, Philip, he's engaged in this huge thing that's going on in Samaria. And suddenly, you know, he hears from God and he's like, okay, because he's tuned in. I mean, he is tuned into what God is doing. In verse 26, so he actually gets some instructions. He goes, I have a direction that I want you to go. I want you to go south down the road that leads from Jerusalem to Gaza. And so he's like, oh, okay, I'm going to get on that road. Now, this is not the norm for most of us, right? I mean, we don't get up in the morning and God says to us, so I want you to go over to Grand Avenue. You're going to see a white Tesla. There's a guy named Paul. Stick your head in the window and start talking to him. Okay, it usually doesn't work that way. But I will say this, as you're being led by the Spirit, that's really what we're talking about, there will be times that things happen and God sets it up. I call them divine appointments. And when that happens, that's when you and I need to be tuned into the Spirit. Like, what is the Spirit doing in this particular situation? In Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, it says this. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Now, if you are a Christian, the Holy Spirit actually is inside of you. And the Holy Spirit wants to guide your life every single day. But you know what happens is every day that you and I get up, we have to tune back in. Okay, the Holy Spirit's already in us, working in us, but we have to open our heart. We have to open our spirit up and say, hey, what do you have for me today? And so he wants us, and I want to key on the word guide. He says he wants to guide our lives. I don't know about you, but I need guidance in my life. I've always needed guidance in my life because sometimes I've made some dumb choices and some mistakes, and then like, God, can you just guide me? I know on a just a normal level, everyday level, one thing that I have never really been good at is directions. And I'm so thankful when GPS came in, I'm like, oh, thank you, Jesus, man. Save my, I spent like two-thirds of my life being lost before GPS came in. I had maps all over my car, and I'd be like turning upside down, where am I going? And then suddenly that came in. Well, the Holy Spirit is kind of your GPS. The Holy Spirit, you wake up in the morning, and you might think that it's just going to be a normal day, and then suddenly God brings somebody along, right along your path. And if you're tuned in, you know, God says, okay, instructions coming. One of the prayers that I often find myself praying is I say, Lord, help me to see people from your perspective. Help me to see people, not with my Steve Bombacci natural eyes, with all my blind spots and, you know, all that I am, the way that I might normally look at somebody, but help me to look at that person and see them the way that you would see them. That prayer has helped me many, many times to just kind of, because I'll trip over myself. But if I can see them the way that God sees them, suddenly God begins to open up my heart, how I might respond to that person or how I might help that person on their spiritual journey. And I know this to be true, that the more time that I spend with Jesus, you know, whether it's like praying or just reading the Bible or just tuning in, that the easier it is for me to understand those promptings, like, okay, as I begin to lean in and say, God, what are you really saying? As a matter of fact, in John chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus speaking, he said, my sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. One of the things that I have struggled with a long time is being in a crowded room and hearing, like, people are talking. I don't know if anybody ever experiences this. And there's a bunch of voices going on, and sometimes I'm trying to peg out the person's voice who's he's even talking to me. But all these voices are all over the place, and it's been embarrassing for me at times, you know? Somebody's going, you know, my mother has cancer, and I'm like, oh, that's great, you know? And I'm just like, oh, wait, you know, I didn't hear it right. And so there's one voice that I can always pick out. I can pick that voice out. I don't care where I am. I don't care how crowded the room is, and that's my wife's voice. Why? Because I have been with her for 42 years, and I love that voice, and I can pick out that voice anywhere. And that's the way it is with Jesus. The more time you spend with him, you are going to hear your voice. Sometimes when there's a situation where you have an opportunity to respond to it, and maybe it's a divine appointment, sometimes just take the next step. That's what Philip did here. Philip got some instruction. He didn't get all the instruction. It was like, hey, I want you to go down this road and start walking. And he's like, okay, here we go. And he begins to follow, you know, where the Spirit is leading him. And I just kind of wonder what was going through his mind. And so he goes, okay, I'm on the road. I'm walking where the Spirit is directing me. And then he sees this guy in a chariot, guy from a different country. And he's very distinguished looking, looks, you know, he's important. He's the treasure of Ethiopia. And like, wow, big stuff. And I wonder, it just for a moment, as he's walking up on this guy, he's thinking, oh my gosh, what is this guy going to think of me? I mean, this guy, he doesn't know who I am. I don't know who he is. This could be a really, really awkward moment. But he doesn't let that discourage him. He just comes right up beside this chariot. Do you ever get in or see an opportunity or maybe get in situations where you think, I ought to say something. I ought to speak up right now. This might be an opportunity. And then you write it off and you're like, nah. And then later on you regret it. I every once in a while, I'll have a prompting and I'm like, and a lot of times it's just that fear thing. A lot of times it's just like, they're going to think I'm a kook, you know? I mean, that I don't know. I don't know if I should say something in this particular moment. But those are the opportunities that sometimes God presents to us. One of the things that we can do, and I've been guilty of this, we have to really always be careful about this. If God is setting something up, and we look at the person, and we see them through our natural eyes, and we judge them. And by judging them, I mean we say, they would never listen to me. They don't seem like a spiritual person. In fact, I know they're not a spiritual person. I know this person maybe even. Like, they're kind of hostile to these kind of things. And so, you know, why would they ever listen to me? One of the things that I've learned in life is to never judge a person based on those things that I see, the way they walk, the way they talk, the way they dress, the way they carry themselves, you know, whatever circles they're in. Because we can do that really quick, right? How many of you do? You kind of size people up and you go, okay, I, you know, kind of see them that way. And God wants us to get past that and go, don't judge them. Because that's what we're doing. We're thinking, really, you're not a candidate for the gospel, I don't think. But you don't really know. I remember early in ministry, there was a guy, was one day I was teaching, and I was a youth pastor at the time. And this guy walked in on our gathering. It wasn't a very large gathering, but I heard a Harley pull up. You know, you can always hear a Harley. I hear a Harley pull up. And this guy walks in, and he looks like, I don't know how many of you remember Rambo, Sylvester Stallone. He looks like Rambo. He's got that long hair, and he looks really just like him. I'm like, whoa, who's this guy? And he sits in the back row of what's this gathering that I have. And so then I'm kind of wondering, like, what, I mean, because these are students, these are high school students. And this guy looks like he's 22, 23 years old, you know, he's kind of a hardcore looking biker sort of dude. And I'm thinking, what, you know, I hope he didn't come here to hurt us, or I have no idea what's going on. And so afterwards, I walked up to the back towards him and I introduced myself and I said, hey, my name is Steve. And he goes, hey, my name's Matt. And I go, hi, Matt. Glad you came. How'd you find out about us? You know, kind of ask him a few questions. As I'm talking to him, I realize this guy's really stoned. And I'm like, okay, well, let's just see where this goes. And so, you know, I finished the conversation. Next week, he shows up again, stoned. Shows up the following week, stoned. And this is going on, and I'm thinking, what is this guy? Why is he even coming? Well, we had a youth convention that was coming up, and I needed chaperones. And I thought, you know, I started praying about it, and I thought, this guy, he probably would not be a good chaperone because he takes drugs, you know. So it probably wouldn't be good for the students. But then as I was praying about it, I just felt the Lord saying, no, ask him to do it. And so I had a conversation, and I said, hey, Matt, we're going to be doing this youth convention, and it was over in, I think, Sacramento that year, and I need some chaperones. And you can't take drugs. You know, if you're going to go, no drugs. And he's like, all right. I'm like, okay. So he was, by the way, he was a great chaperone. Those kids were afraid of him. I said, and when they were getting out of line, man, all I had to do was say, Matt, take care of it. It was taken care of. And so, you know, we get there, and I don't know where this is all going to go. But I remember on the last evening of this, the speaker was a really dynamic speaker to this youth. And there was thousands of people at this youth convention. And then speaker gets up there, and he's trying to get the students to make a commitment to Jesus, and he's really bringing it. And I'm like, wow. And at the very end, he goes, here's what I'm going to do. He says, everybody who wants to make a commitment to Jesus, I want you to stand up, and I want you to say, I want the cross. And so I automatically looked over at Matt, and I thought, I wonder if this is having any impact on him. And when he said, go, I mean, I saw him leap out of his seat, and he goes, I want the cross! I'm like, wow, Matt. And you know what? He became an amazing Christ follower and helper. But I tell you that story to say, I didn't see that. And sometimes we can miss that in people. There's something inside of them, and we're not even aware of it. And many times God is just setting it up. So we need to be open to the leading of the Holy Spirit, but we also need to be open to leading in a conversation. Now, this can be really intimidating for some people. The first thing that I always hear is, I'm not an extrovert. You know what? Neither am I. If you know me, I'm not an extrovert. I'm never the guy who's going to walk into a room and like light the room up with my big personality. I'm just not going to do it. I'm going to sort of just mill around the room and then get to meet people. And so don't ever let that stop you. In fact, God uses introverts all the time. Some of the people that I know that have been used the most by God are actually people that are kind of introverted. So where it really starts, if you're going to help somebody, it's really more about observation. It's more, like I say, be tuned into the Spirit and then just observe. Watch what's going on with people. And I know it's difficult, isn't it, today? Because there's 1,000 things going on, and we're busy, and we got our phones occupying us all the time, and all this stuff is going on. But it just throughout the day, just kind of opening your eyes and opening your hearts and saying, okay, am I not see in something or somebody in this situation. In verse 30, it says, and Philip ran up to the chariot, and he heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Now, this is actually pretty easy for him, because he's like, oh, this guy is already on a spiritual quest. I mean, this guy is already seeking God. He's interested in spiritual things. In verse 30, it says, do you understand what you're reading? Which is always a good thing to say if people are kind of confused about the Bible or spiritual things. So let me ask you a question. And when I ask this question, I in no way want to shame anybody, okay? So just don't take this question the wrong way. But here's the question. If somebody told you that they didn't I don't understand the Bible, do you think that you could help them? Maybe somebody at work, maybe a really good friend, somebody in your family, somebody you're just getting to know, and they said, you know, you're a Christian, right? Yeah. This Bible thing, man, I just do not get it. Would you or could you say, I think I can help you? And if not, why not? You see, although I've been studying the Bible all of my life, I am not the Bible answer man. I still have people come up and say, hey, Steve, I got a question for you. I know you're into the Bible. Yeah. I don't always have the answer. And that's okay. I think that's one of the things that people fear a lot. What I say if I don't have the answer is, hey, either let me come back to you or let's explore it together. Why not? So don't let that intimidate, that thing that says, well, I just don't have all the answers. You don't need to have all the answers. And by the way, nobody has all the answers. So it's an opportunity to come to the Bible together. One of the things that I'm excited about, you know, this life group season we have is coming up in about a couple weeks. And I'm going to be leading a life group. It's called Discovering Pacific Life Church with a guy named Bob Raleigh, who's one of the board members of this church. And we're going to be helping people discover the Bible. We're going to talk about all things Pacific Life Church, but one of the things I want to do is really help people to know their Bible better, how to read the Bible, how to study the Bible. So if that's you, please join in with my group. You can go online next week. We'll be talking about our life groups a little bit. We'll have some people out there. I'll be out there. So I'd love to have you be a part of that if you want to know more about the Bible and how to read it, how to study it. One of the things, and this with Philip, you know, he's a guy, he's looking around, he's tuned into God. One of the things that I think sometimes we miss is that people are asking spiritual questions, but it doesn't sound like it. They're doing it all the time, but we're just not cued in. Like when somebody says, I'm lonely, that is a spiritual question. When somebody says, I'm depressed, or somebody says, I'm afraid, or somebody says, I just can't seem to make friends. I mean, those are spiritual questions. They go right to the heart of what people are really looking for in their life. And if we begin to see it that way, when the next time somebody says, man, I'm really going through a hard time, like, boom, like that's an opportunity for you to really help that person. Because, and I've said this, and I'll say it the rest of my life, I believe that everybody's looking for God. They just don't know it. Everybody's trying to fill some kind of a void in their life. Maybe they're trying to do it with experiences, or maybe they're trying to do it with money, or whatever it is. But everybody's looking for something. What they're really looking for is God. And we always have to believe that the Holy Spirit, and this is important too, always know that the Holy Spirit is setting things up, that He's preparing hearts. And every once in a while, you're going to walk into a situation, and God, He has set the whole thing up. The Holy Spirit's right there in the moment. And all you have to do is just like step into that opportunity and say, oh, hey, listen, you just said this. And you began to lead the conversation. And you began to talk about how there's help available. So I want to help you with this. So here's some practical stuff. Here's some practical questions that you could ask in a conversation. The first one is this. Did you grow up in church? I find that a lot of people actually did grow up in church. And the follow-up question to that is, and this is probably the most important part of that question, is, so what was that like? How did that impact you? And you know what I find so often? It's heartbreaking. They say, it wasn't good. It wasn't a good experience. That's why I'm not into religion. That's why I'm not into church, because it was a bad experience. If that happens, man, you've got an opportunity. For me, I get it, man. You know, Jesus was hated by religious people. And so you can begin a conversation with them about what it means to have a relationship with Jesus. That's a wonderful opportunity. Or how about this one? What are you reading right now? Or what are you listening to like right now? What are you into? There's another really, really great question. It could lead to a lot of possibilities right there. Or this one is amazing, and I've never, ever been turned down on this one. Can I pray with you? Like maybe they're really pouring their heart out, and they're going through a hard time. It's like, hey, can I just say a quick prayer for you? And I've had atheists tell me, sure. I mean, like, I'm not going to reject your prayer. So there's another way that you can start a conversation. I think one of the most important things, if you're going to help people, is you got to listen well. You got to listen, because sometimes we can get a little bit preachy. You know, sometimes we have the answer before they actually gave us the question. And so you got to really listen to the question. And then understand that sometimes there's a question behind the question. And so we need to like say, Holy Spirit, what is this person really saying? Where are they coming from? Give me clarity. And give me wisdom in this moment. And sometimes I say, and give me boldness and courage that I need in this moment. In verse 34 and 35, continuing with the story, the eunuch asked Philip, tell me, what was the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? And so beginning with the same scripture, Philip told him all about the good news about Jesus. So this is that opportunity, and Philip just says, here we go. He just goes for it. Now, here's the thing about sharing the gospel. And about helping and encouraging people in their spiritual walk. If you're not into it, you're not going to get them into it. If you're not excited about your faith, if you're not excited about the good news, it's actually called the good news, and if it's not good news to you, it's not going to come across as good news to them. And so let me just say this. If you're struggling, you know, in your faith right now, and you're like, well, I'm not very excited, let us help you get excited, okay? That's why we gather up every week. That's why we have life groups. That's why we are here. Like if you're going through something, we're here to pray for you. We are here to talk to you. But we want to just get your faith revved up and red hot so that you can be that person in that moment that can really encourage somebody else's faith. The last thing is be open to encouraging people to get baptized. Now, today is Baptism Sunday, and it's so exciting. In verse 36, as they rode along, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized? What an amazing statement and question. Why can't I be baptized? And maybe you've been in the faith for a while, you've been following Jesus for a while, and you've never been baptized. Ask yourself that question. Why haven't I been baptized? Is there anything stopping me? Because we want to help you on that. Okay, so think about that. Maybe for you, you haven't been baptized because you think you're not deep enough in your faith, or you haven't done enough. This guy just met Jesus. This guy, in 5 minutes, became a Jesus follower. And next thing you know, he's looking for a body of water. He says, let's just get baptized. Let's just do it right now. That's the way they did it in the first century. So Philip said, if you believe with all of your heart, you may. And the eunuch answered, yeah, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then, bam, let's do it. Let's get baptized. You know, this event is so important that Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, took the time to record this. And, you know, there's a lot of things he could have wrote about, but why did he write about this? I believe one of the primary reasons was because this guy was from the country of Ethiopia, and he was very, very important. He goes back to Ethiopia, and history records that he was the guy that got Christianity moving in the country of Ethiopia. So when Philip left that big meeting that he was at in Samaria, and all kinds of people are coming to Christ, and he was thinking, really, Jesus? You're gonna have me leave this for one person? But that one person went to a nation and began to change the way of that nation. You just never, never know. God sets up divine appointments all the time. And listen to this, and I'm closing here. Christianity was never meant to be a private creed or just between you and God, my private thing. Christianity was meant to be a declaration of your life to the world, to your family, to your friends, to the world. We don't hide it. We put it front and center of our life and we say, here it is. I'm a Christian and I love Jesus with all of my heart. And that's what we're doing today. I mean, baptism is just icing on the cake. And so we have three people that we're super excited today about in their life and the fact that we're going to be baptizing them. And I want to throw this out there before we make our way out. I'm going to close in prayer. We're going to have a couple of songs. But if you're here today and you say, well, I'd actually like to get baptized, because a couple of weeks ago, I think Eric is here today, he talked about the fact that he was just running one day and things began to happen. He saw a baptismal service, and the next thing you know, he's getting baptized in his running clothes. So, hey, we are ready. We are prepared for you. If you would like to get baptized today, this Ethiopian met Jesus, and 5 minutes later, man, it was on. So we're here for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you care so much about us, that at some point in time in our life, somebody spoke to us, somebody opened up our heart, somebody influenced us. The Holy Spirit drew that person and us to you. And we thank you for that, Lord. Today, we're gonna have a baptismal service, and we are so excited for these that are being baptized. And I pray that we all are able to just rejoice in that and celebrate and to know that somebody is making that declaration to the world. We need so many more people to make that declaration. So bless this time after these songs, Lord. Bless this time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to our podcast. If you'd like prayer to connect with us, please go to our website at pacificlifechurch.org, and we would love to connect with you.